Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're your Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wah.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be, I mean, it can be coupled, can be throuppled, can be divorcing, can be widowed, but can be single. But at the end of the day, hopefully and definitely, sweet. Hi.
Hey.
Hello. So today we're talking 90 Day Fiancé, Single Life, Season 4, Episode 9. Tyrae shoots his shot. And boy, does he.
How are you saying that?
Yeah, like he, first of all, his brothers don't know what to do, because one of his brother was like, invite her back to the hotel, and he's like, no. And we're all like, no, you just met her.
Yeah.
And like, she's vibing with you because you have a fucking camera crew with you or whatever in this, whatever. And he's like, oh, I finally feel like comfortable enough to not be shy and to speak with women. And his brothers are like, immediately like, go bring her back. Like, do they not understand that when someone then waits until their 30s to try to like date people, you don't just like jump on the first girl that you meet? And then we find out she's 25. So I don't know. It's like the brothers are not good at that. And then he's like, you want to have a long distance relationship? They've known each other for 24 hours.
I know that part.
Yeah. And then whole, it's like a lot. It's a lot. But listen, I like that he said thick girls are it girls. Mm-hmm. I liked her vibe. She's like a modern young woman who is like, no, we're not just going to jump in and do that. Thank you. That's cool though. I like to be free and like relationship. What are you talking about? And then the whole kissing for like the bead. And he's like, now I will say that Tyrae has some luscious lips. I mean, somebody should kiss him because they look great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, I thick girls are it girls. You know, I enjoyed that. And he's had a variety of different types throughout the series, you know, like Hillary Clinton, I guess, also the an it girl, you know, it's just like, which I guess, you know, women are it girls. You don't have to be, by the way, by nature, honey, we are. So anyway, at the same time, it's just interesting because yes, his brothers, their mindset is Tyrae needs to get things off, like checked off his list. Like in their mind, it's almost like in a medical way, this man needs an operation. He needs to be kissed. This man needs the procedure done. He needs to be fucked. So whoever provides that is like, you know, it could be like a machine, you know what I'm saying? And so they are not considering this man's emotional connection at all. They do not care about it, almost in the like stereotypical way that we think men, heterosexual men, don't care about it, because they really are just like, they've regressed back to like 21-year-olds like trying to get their best friend like fucked up at a bar, you know, where it's like, you're not drinking the best wine, you're not even drinking wine, you are drinking like, you know, 151 Goldschlager, where you're just like, get it done, kind of that kind of like get her done style thing. So it's unfortunate because it makes me feel like they haven't, as people, had enough connective conversations to understand that, like, Tyrae might be a demisexual, you know? Like, isn't demisexual like someone who like can't have sex until they've created an emotional bond? Have you heard of that before?
Yes. Demisexual is, let me look it up. But yes, it might have something to do with the brain. Like, you have to have that kind of connectual. with that. So demisexual is a sexual orientation in which the individual does not experience sexual attraction, primary sexual attraction. The type of attraction that is based on immediately observable characteristics such as appearance or smell, and is experienced immediately after the first encounter. So yeah,
for some reason that was confusing to me. And not just me. I'm sorry. Go on.
People who identify as demisexual only feel sexual attraction to someone after they form strong emotional bond with them. So meaning that they don't have a primary sexual attraction based on immediate observable characteristics such as appearance or smell.
Yeah. Do you think that what makes you, can you isolate what turns you on or what attracts you to someone?
Physical appearance, usually coupled with a sense of humor. So today I went out and some guy was leaning at a bar and I like looked over and I noticed that he was like listening in on a conversation. So then I thought to myself, am I speaking too loud or is like my voice just like carrying naturally into his eardrums? Because sometimes that happens to me where I'm out and like I really can't hear anybody else except for a voice yonder. And I think it's because of the acoustics, the way that they're sitting and talking, it's like hitting off of a wall directly into my eardrums. So I thought maybe that was happening, but, he had facial hair, check. He had like some kind of style going on, check. And then like, he looked at me and we looked at check. Each other and like, check. So then that's like the physical characteristics, right? So that made me interested in him. Then when I got, then like, hopefully if I were to speak to him, he would A, have a deep voice. B, he would laugh at whatever joke I made first. And then C, he smelled good. So then that's okay. And then after that, like, then we could talk about like his, you know, what he's doing in his life, what his goals are, you know, how comfortable he is with life right now. Like, does he travel? And then that's another layer. So it's layers, but really it's like I don't have a type. It's mainly about their confidence, their ability to hold a conversation and their ability to give me, the attention and, or like back and forth that I require. So I'm not demisexual. That it doesn't only matter other mind, but like after a while, it does kind of matter because all the other stuff will fade away. But like, yes, I do. Demisexual is like in there, but physical, I can look at somebody and be like, oh.
It's interesting because where he went wrong to me is when he finally had the balls. To me, the shot was, you got to do something for these beads. And when he said, a kiss, and she said on the cheek, he should have been like, and and I think because it would have read if she was like, no, I'm good. Then she wouldn't have gotten her beads. It's a way of asking for a kiss without even asking, because he is asking. If he had just said my lips or something, whatever, God bless. And she didn't want to, she didn't have to, she had asked, no one's forcing her to kiss for beads. Then I think what she would have done was probably something like this. Like, I think she would have been like, okay. And I think that he would have gotten it. But she said cheek, and he was like, okay, cheek. And then when he had like Eeyore'd his way out of that moment, I was confused why they would then move to a different location. Because for her to say cheek and for him to say to do that, it just like did not give the vibe of like a sexually charged, exciting vibe. They became kind of like friends that talked, you know, about like what you're into, what your kind of person you are, you know, like it just, it's unfortunate because it's hard for him to lead with like a sort of like confident, secure sexual tone because he doesn't feel that way. And so hopefully with time, there'll be like a balance of him feeling minutely better about himself day by day and taking better care of himself. So I think that at some point there'll be like a little progression in his own like view of himself, and that will kind of level off. But I mean, you know, I think that the minute that she said cheek and he was like, okay, I was like, put a steak in him, put a fork in him, and the steak's done.
Well, I done. Thought mm-hmm. that he should not have asked her for the kiss for the bead in the first place. I felt like that was a little like inappropriate, as well as like, I thought that the bead around him was like an actual gold chain. So it was like weird that he only had one string of beads. And so it was just like, it was a weird it felt like, oh, someone put that, your brother or someone told you to put that around your neck so that you could have this moment while you were out to ask someone for a kiss. And I was like, no, then put more beads on or like make it a little bit more. I was like, ew. I didn't like the fact that he even asked her for a kiss for the beads.
Wait, because, so like
they weren't there yet to me.
Orleans. But like, you know, like he could have been like, show me your tits. Now, I mean, he wouldn't have said, show me your tits, but like they're in New Orleans, like to get beads. The normal way to get beads is like two titties, honey, in the air. You know what I'm saying? So like,
or pointing down below, as depending on your titties.
Two flapjacks, honey, just flapping in the air. But honey, like, no matter what kind of titties, they if you show them, you're supposed to get beads. So like when she asked for a moment, I thought maybe she would like give him a little nippy noop. You know, like, yeah, but no. So
then you're right. She definitely then set that up and then was like, no, just a kiss on the cheek. But I would have just been like, yes, and then gave him a like done this. So like, I don't know, like there's ways you could have done it. And I'm glad he didn't come off as a creeper, but his brothers really want him to come off as a creeper. They don't understand that he doesn't have that confident energy. So anything he does will be like, hit, hit, hit. Yeah, you know, this is real cool over here. And then so I didn't understand why they were going back to the hotel just to simply dip their feet in the pool. I did love the fact.
Cups and like weird, like shot glasses. And yeah, I know.
I did like the fact that when after she was like, no, he was like, oh, I'll just face plant into this water. Loved that. I thought that was like, okay, good. Like he's getting the joke out of it. And
I also thought that you'd like the dragon thing.
Yes, I loved it. What's your favorite animal? A dragon.
A dragon, a unicorn. I was like, mine's like a Shih Tzu puppy, obviously.
I don't have a favorite animal, but it's so funny. Like, I always want to say dolphin because I feel like that's what a lot of girls were in our Lisa Frank era. But like, there's no animal that I'm like, ooh, I need to have a picture of that. Or like, I need like that thing. Like, no.
Mm-mm, owls. Remember when people loved owls for a goddamn second? Like there was a whole owl movement.
There was an owl movement. There was.
Okay. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to John. This John situation is just like...
Hey, Megan, guess what? You know, I feel like you're pulling away from me and I don't really like it and I feel it in my heart. So I'm going to move to Texas, okay? It's probably definitely going to happen, all right? It's happening. I'm moving to Texas. You want me to do that or no?
I'm packing up my car.
Yeah.
I thought about it, Megan. Texas Amy, Megan. And it turns out, what am I here for? And I'm just living with my different brothers and I don't have anything going. And so you're really the only thing that I have exciting in my day. So if you take that away from me, I'm going to have absolutely nothing. And I'm on the show. So
And people keep saying that I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm doing, but I do. So I'm going to prove to them that I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm doing. And I want that future with you, Megan. So I'm going to come and move there because they said not to. So therefore I'm going to do it because I'm an adult. It is so crazy. He's a wild person. So he's mad at Thais and Patrick, but he doesn't like come out and say it. Patrick and Thais are like, what is happening right now? No, you are chronically irresponsible. No. You think, and then he's like, well, she was mad because you said all those things about me. And Patrick is like, no, she was mad because it was the truth. No. I didn't make anything up. And then Thais is leaning over and she's like, John, you're crazy. It doesn't make any, no. And she's like patting this baby to sleep. Yeah, like Patrick and Thais are so confused.
Patrick, I think, gets to hear his brother. And there probably was like 6 years prior in his life where he would have said the same shit, where I think for him to hear it come out of his brother's mouth and watch his face as he say it, it must be a really humbling experience for the work, inner work that Patrick had to do to like take himself from a place, you know, because they all, you know, John, for whatever reason, feels stuck, right? It's almost like he hasn't advanced yet in like what feels like the trajectory of the human experience where you have like certain amounts of awareness and like want to be better. Like he just seems like he's floating from one easy situation to another. What?
Arrested development is what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's, and I think that he feels, I think what happens also as one ages with this, it gets even more dire as you feel people progress wildly past you. And then in situations, social situations with them, the, you know, the void is too wide. And so that becomes wider and it makes you feel less than, and then you start to make wild choices to jump from where you think you are to the next level, to like, as if, you know, as if you can almost feel the end of the screen coming and you have to like make that. And so that's like, it's so ungood couples, or I mean, unhealthy couples, toxic situations. I mean, it's so interesting. So he is like, why not go to Texas? What's keeping me in Vegas? Like a promise of Coke and brothers' couches. Like, no, I'll just like move in with this woman who gives me a free house and kind of like a step up in life, and I'll do it. I mean, too bad. It's like Megan, I don't think deserves this. Maybe, I mean, you know, in the best situation, maybe my sweetness will give you, if I want to have them grace and compassion, maybe they'll come together in some sort of like bond that complements each other and makes them as a unit develop and grow a life together that serves them both. And I hope the child is okay.
You know, I think you're absolutely correct. He's like, don't listen to these dodos. She's like, well, no, your family's telling me that you don't want this. He's like, you gonna listen to those dodos? I'll move if you still want. I'm coming and we're gonna be together. It's just so crazy. And she's a fool too, right? Because she accepts that, as opposed to listening to what the people who know him say about him, pointing out the red flags.
Of course.
She listens to him, as opposed to listening to her heart and everything else that's probably telling her that this is not a good idea. Now, what John does for work, I don't know, but he's also lived in Texas before. He's like, yeah, I lived in Dallas. I moved to San Antonio. Like, he, you know, so who knows?
Yeah, no, honey, we don't, but we'll see. I'll tell you that. We'll see. Okay. So move on to, who do you want to, Natalie, Debbie? Okay.
All right. We'll do, so
go ahead.
Let's move on to Natalie. So we have a scene where Natalie and her mother are driving, and we don't know where they're going, but it's a little bit of a driving scene where there's some backstory. She's like, me and mama, I have mama. We're living in Los Angeles. No job, no man. And she starts to give us just like information as to what's happening in her life currently. And then all of a sudden they dropped a bomb on us. They dropped the bomb of like, so I decided to take my future in my own hands. And so we really think that she is about to kind of do something revolutionary and interesting for TV. And we want to really see Natalie step into her power. I'm still bowled over to the fact that she was like, I'm going to be a nun. Like I forgot that she was so religious. Like, remember when we first saw her, there's a whole scene of her in a church. I forgot that that person is this person. This desperate woman who wants to be married so bad. It is the saddest. Natalie's situation, it to me is like so sad. I just feel bad for her that she can't think about herself outside of like her relationship to a man. Like, she's not complete. She needs someone to heal her, all these things. And
that's true. She does feel those. And it's a little scary though, because it does feel like from what we've seen of Natalie, we all know that I don't think Natalie's, you know, mom material on her own. We just got done having her tell Josh that she's here alone with nothing. And so it's like, if you are really feeling that you're on your own with nothing in this world, it's not the time to like bring on a dependent, you know, it's just not, I mean, I don't think it is, you know, like, so I think you have to have some sort of footing. I'm not saying you can't be a solo parent, but she just literally was like, Josh, I have nothing. I came here for you, you know, like, so get something, you know, like get your shit together, you know, before you let's do this whole thing. So now having her mom at this fertility doctor, and Natalie's quick to be like, I found the best fertility doctor in all of LA. I'm like, so are we in Long Beach? I'm not quite sure. And you know, the doctor's like going through things, and she's like, I'm 38. And the mom's like, yes, you're 38, but like you can have a child at 55. You do sports, you know, I've been seeing you do the sports, honey, you know, and like, I'm happy you eat the chicken now because you used to be vegan, but yeah, I think that you need the protein. The mom is like in it. And then this part feels crazy. So he's like, you know, she's just like, well, I want to make sure I have a good donor, you know, and he's well, okay. Well, we'll show you what that looks like. You know, there's the people. And so she, this nice woman sits down and she's like, here are some profiles and what you get, which is baby pictures and like a beautiful essay and obviously information about their schooling. She's like, you see, it's just a paper. It's not enough. And then I thought, did she come here to meet men that want to have kids? Like, did she in her mind think that this fertility doctor would be like, okay, now meet your donors, and they would be there live in real life? And then she'd be like, okay. And that Natalie would just have to blink her eyes with the eyeliner and then just be like, now, should we just leave this dumb place and you become my husband and we make baby real way? You know, like, I almost feel like this was, I don't know. But like, when you said that she was going to take matters in her own hands and, you know, like show us a journey, I mean, not one morsel of my body was like, is that happening? I knew that wasn't going to, I knew this was just the kind of like filler episode that involves an activity, you know, like the checking of the eggs is an activity, you know, like, because it requires the emotional aftercare of someone talking about what that means for them and all of the conversations about it. It's just, it's too easy. It's like a convention, you know?
Yeah, I was sad. I really just thought, and I didn't like the way that she walked out of that doctor's office as though like, no, thank you. This is not good. This is not for me. And I was like, fuck you. Like, I guess just my experience with fertility and like a myriad of women who go through it. There was and I normally never infer or like get mad at people just based on whatever. But in this one, I was like, it just made it feel like she was kind of downing this whole process because for her, it was just a paper. And it's like, you knew what the fuck you were going there to do. And so it just, that's what I didn't like. It's like, for me, when you go to a fertility clinic and you get your options about how donors and they provide all this service for you, which I did not have that service when I did my process. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then she's like, turns her nose up at it as though like, I still have time. And I'm like, well, maybe she does have her eggs like frozen. Maybe she does have a plan that we're just not aware of. And so this is like so far out of her like mindset that the idea of doing this is just so like, oh no, not for Natalie. But she's like, I gave 7 years of my life to Michael. I gave 3 years to Josh. I'm like, Josh wasn't real. First of all, Michael mm-hmm. was, and you walked away from that. So mm-hmm. I just was having a hard time with that. And she's just, she's also very uncomfortable saying miscarriage because the way she told the doctor was like, it didn't work out. And I'm like, girl, just, this is a doctor. You could say miscarriage, but she'd also say, I lost the baby in her confessional. So I was just really confused. She just, it all of a sudden felt very, she was very uncomfortable with this whole thing. And that, I think that's when I was like, I don't like this. I want somebody who's comfortable and who's going to be respectful of this process just for me. Maybe I gleamed into it too much though, for real.
I can see why we can take things personally, but just knowing Natalie, she would never be good for this. And I never expected it to happen. And she, of course, is like needy. And of course, she like wants to be with a man. Of course, Natalie also, the thing about Natalie, which is also icing on the cake, is that Natalie 100% thinks she is so gorgeous and so sexy and so emotionally lovely and mature and warm and capable and giving. She thinks she is all of these things, again, with such beauty, with eyes that pierce through people's souls, that she can't, in a body like the devil could make, that she does not understand how all of that exists in the world and men do not bow at her feet. So to her, to not have admirer donors just waiting to have a Natalie baby is like beyond her mind, you know, like beyond it. And like, which I love, you know, like I do love that. What it's one of the best characteristics she has that makes her watchable on this show, you know, and which is, so having said that, if all of this was to give her a reason to have what's going to happen next happen, which is the scenes, which is, of course, Michael comes, the return of Michael. I could see the producers really story mapping this along the way. You know, I mean, I guess Josh, it isn't enough. You know, I am a little upset. Like, so she's not going to be in the horror movie. We're not going to see that. Okay. That's my only thing. Like, wouldn't you have loved to?
I mean, I've seen a lot of people in really bad movies that never made it anywhere in my life as an actor in Los Angeles. And so, like, I just wasn't ready for this.
Oh, side note, as I'm going to go to the nice last couple, is Libby's sister, Becky or Buki, I forgot which one of them. She was in some horrible YouTube filmed on an iPhone, but not like Tangerine kind of movie that someone made that is just unwatchable. I can't remember what it is. I think I posted it.
Speaking of unwatchable, within the last 2 hours, I tried to watch Mea Culpa on Netflix, Tyler Perry's Mea Culpa starring Kelly Rowland. And I need to put it on when I don't even know. It's not good. She's bad. She's bad. And then like the characters are so polarizing. It's like crazy. And then I also started watching This Is Me Now by J-Lo, which is
I'm mad.
I didn't know. I didn't
I'm
know.
So mad.
I didn't know what it was. Like I went to brunch with my neighbor and my neighbor was like, have you watched it? And I was like, no, isn't it a movie? She's like, no. It's like a movie musical. And I was like, oh, like, so it's original. Like what? It's an original play. And she's like, no, it's a music video. Sorry. And I was like Moonwalker. And she was like, I haven't seen Moonwalker. I was like, oh, okay. So she's like, no, it's just like her next album. It's just like a full. And I was like, this entire time, I thought it was a straight up movie. So I watched like the first and the second, and then they started like one of the third scenes had something with like Shabari knots. And I was like, I don't like when they bring kink stuff into like mainstream and then try to make it seem like it makes any sense. And then some of the imagery were like abusive. And I was like, I don't like it. But it's bad. Now, I do disagree. She can dance. Moving on to
Debbie.
Julian, first of all, word on the street is that Julian is not Latino, as I surmise. He is like Taiwanese.
Yep.
And then secondly, and I think you're the one who told me that maybe then secondly,
no, a comment from Patreon.
Okay. Then secondly, thank you, Patreon. Secondly, yo, I want to see Debbie's reaction to when she realizes what he's done.
Tell her business.
He is wrong for that.
Yeah.
And he knew Ruben didn't know and he didn't stop himself.
Yeah.
He completely sabotaged her.
Yes.
In a very unkind way. Like it didn't feel like it was coming from a place of love. It felt like it was coming from a place and it may be, but like, I'm like, oh, whoever he's married to or in a relationship with, they're in for a world of trouble because Julian doesn't have any tact or any like, he threw his mother under the bus. I don't know.
I agree. I just got done. I'm like done with, I took like a long time to finish the Britney book for some reason. I just did. And it almost felt like that's not your place. You can't tell someone's like business. This is your mother. She's a grown ass woman, you know, like whatever she wants to do. Like, you know, like she's not giving. I understand. Like, okay. Well, a lot of things we can talk about.
What does the Britney book have to do with it?
Because it feels like he's overstepping his boundaries of like someone's own personhood and womanhood. And in the relationships, which is like his mother.
Did Britney do that to someone or did someone do that to Britney?
Someone did that to Britney.
Oh, okay.
So her family. So basically we start and they're spray painting a house, you know, like, and Julian's like, are we allowed to spray paint? Are the owners here given the spray paint okay? Have they consented to the spray paint? You know,
like This is not your jurisdiction. Don't worry about it.
You know, like his mom is there, you know, Ruben's there with like those glasses and that hat, you know, and
that shirt.
She, this is where it gets a little interesting because Debbie is like, I'm just going to let them talk and I'm going to do my own thing over here with the spray paint. You know, like you're like, well, I wouldn't trust that. That is when Julian goes crazy wild and is like going in at him. And it's interesting again, because he's like, well, she's here talking about, you know, what's going to happen and she's going to have to move to Miami. And then, you know, of course, Ruben, who started the conversation being like, I would love you to move to Miami. And then having
Duffy be like, well, Reuben, I always jump in a thing, so I can't do that anymore. And him be like, I know, so don't do it. So yeah, I'm so happy we're going slow. What you have to think about is you how slow we're going. And then he does the same thing to Julian. Now, Julian gets a little of Reuben being like, I just care so much about my parents, so we can really bond about that, which gives him some pause. But he lets it be known, A, that her relationship was out of country, Morocco, that yes, he was 24, and dropped the bomb for all of us that she's still giving him money, his family money. That part is the pause. And that's where you get to deal with your mom and not be like controlling the situation with nothing to do with that, you know?
Yes. He really, really overstepped the boundaries, and it made me embarrassed for her because that was way out of line. It's like he doesn't want her to be happy. That's what it felt like. Because any rational person would think to before they said something so embarrassing. Now, I mean, maybe Reuben, like he might assume Reuben knew because it was on TV, right? It's not like it was a secret. She fully filmed something that's on TV. So maybe Reuben is a 90 Day Fiancé fan. But as soon as he said, you know, she moved to Morocco to be with this 24-year-old, and you see Ruben's face go, that is when he should have been like, I just, you know, she made a mistake. She thought she really loved that person. That's when he should have switched it and been like, oh my God, he didn't know. I can't or, just like.
This is really not my place to say, so I'll let her continue.
Yeah. But even like, he thinks it's his place. So we can't, let's throw that out. He, the fact that he realized Reuben didn't know. And then he doubled down and was like, yeah. Like, she's crazy. Like, this is what she also did. Then she's doing this. And now, you know, she's still sending the family money and like all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, he didn't even fucking know about the family to begin with. So why are you trying to sabotage poor Debbie? Like, it just felt like really, I was disappointed in him and kind of disgusted. And like, now I don't like him because I felt like he's not in his mother's corner.
I get what you're saying. Was it interesting though? This whole time we're like, Debbie, loving that Latin flavor. Debbie can't stop talking about liking dark men. Just to have Ruben be like, I'll tell you what I love about your mom. Her light eyes, her blonde hair. Love light eyes and blonde hair. You're like, oh, all right. Well, everyone has their preferences, I guess. All right, my loves. That's really the end of the episode, but I'm excited to see what happens next week again, because I said Michael's back. Ha ha ha. And we also didn't have Veronica and Jamal, and we didn't have Chantel. Chantel. And so it really was an easy, quick episode.
Yeah, it was. It was great. But if you guys want to see the visuals of what you're listening to, you can join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for only $10 a month. We've got exclusive content like a live every first Monday of the month. And currently we are doing Love is Blind on our Patreon exclusively. So if you're interested in that content, please go on ahead and sign up at patreon.com/docusweeties. But if you can't do that, Chris will tell you ways that you can. Chris?
Please go to our Instagram and type in at DocuSweeties. We're at DocuSweeties there. We're on TikTok. We're at DocuSweeties 1 on X. We have a Facebook group, the DocuSweeties Podcast Facebook group. If you haven't given us 5 stars yet, I would do it. Other than that, thank you so much for listening.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.